Welcome back. Hi, everyone. This is Adam, and I'm back to do another episode. And this one, again, I'm working through the book, Competing Against Luck. And today we're talking about chapter 3, entitled Jobs in the Wild. But first, we're going to play a little game, see if you can guess the background noises as I'm recording in this episode here. There's multiples going on, but that's just how it is around here. So if you want a little fun, play my game of guess the noises in the background, and if you reach out, I can let you know if you're correct or not. So chapter 3 is Jobs in the Wild. So I like the introduction to this chapter. And I like that I'm doing this because it prevents me from just wandering. When I was just recording me driving home from work, I tend to wander in and out, go circular, and talk about the same thing over and over. And this is good. It keeps me focused, and I still talk about the topics that I want to talk about, but in a more focused and cohesive manner. So I'm really glad I'm doing this. So, chapter 3, Jobs in the Wild, and I'm just going to talk about, I don't like just reading, but, because, you know, you don't need me to narrate things, so I'm going to pause and read and kind of refresh my memory and gather my thoughts, so I apologize if there's some pauses here, but I'd rather have pauses than me just narrating parts from the book to you, but I love how he introduces this chapter as how it's just not, it's, this isn't just a, this jobs theory is not just another framework or marketing approach, right? How many things come and go that are such, right? They're just another framework or just another marketing approach that, you know, maybe there's some merchandise sales tied to, maybe there's some, podcasts, all right. There's other things associated with it. Maybe they sell you a framework that then requires, you know, some consultancy for your company or business to implement. And I love that he didn't take that approach with this. It seems to me I read that there was some kind of consulting firm based on these processes. But it certainly hasn't been. That wasn't the main intent, right? The intent of, at least I'm assuming, because it doesn't seem so, that the intent of this book was not to, as a marketing piece for a campaign to push the consultancy business that he was trying to start. Maybe it was, but if so, that certainly doesn't seem to be the case, and certainly didn't get as large of a following as some other things in the software and tech world have. There's the five-letter one that I'm thinking of specifically that there's a ton of money wrapped up in. This didn't have that same end result, right? And in the end, does that help? You know, another business process framework or marketing angle, those are... If you're really trying to make organizational change and improvements and progress, those aren't the ways to do it, at least from my own personal experience as well as observation of others' experiences. That stuff just doesn't land. Marketing to your own people and trying to sell them on something is great, but it doesn't last very long after the marketing campaign is done. So I'm more interested in long-term and also effective and meaningful change and progress in an organization. And nor is it confined to a specific industry or arena. So this has the potential to have a much bigger impact. And it transforms things from the very foundational level, right? the business you're in, right? What is your actual business model, business practice? Not just the spiel on paper, but what exactly do you carry out from day to day in your business operations? This can impact the size and shape of the market you're in, where you compete and who you're competing with. Apparently eating an apple high chew before doesn't prevent the coughing problem, in case anybody was planning on suggesting that to me. And it also helps you, you know, if you're talking about innovation and disruption in the industry or in the business world, which was something that Clayton was certainly an authority on, in my opinion. Learning to see where there are customers that haven't previously been, either because you didn't see them or didn't think of your business in that way, and so you weren't serving them or providing things for them. And maybe you're servicing the wrong customers, right? That could also be a realization you have too, as you think about things. And sometimes it leads to opportunities that you didn't know existed, or that were where you least expected them. And he goes through and gives a good example from Southern New Hampshire University. And I did find that one very interesting. I won't go through all that. you can look it up. So I want to jump now to the chapter takeaways and questions for leaders. I love one of the first thoughts here, because I see this one over and over and over and over, about if you're not clear on what the job is that your customers are hiring you to do, you're very susceptible to the trap of trying to build one-size-fits-all solutions, because you don't know who you're really trying, who, what job you're trying to do. You're going to try and do a bunch of different ones, hoping that some of them land, right? What's the problem with that, though? If you're trying to meet everybody's needs, you don't meet anyone's needs very well, right? You're spreading yourself too thin. You don't make effective decisions when the time comes to make those important decisions, because you just don't have enough information or understanding to go on. And so it's just throwing another dart, throwing more spaghetti, and seeing what happens. And that rarely results in meaningful innovations, and has a whole bunch of other consequences. I've even seen where businesses take this approach and come up with something, and some people buy it, but the customer experience is horrible. And the consequences of not having all the, I don't want to say secondary, because they're more vital, in my opinion. And saying secondary to me sounds like I would be downplaying that. So I don't mean to do that. Tangential is not the right word either, because that's just that implies minor touch points on the peripheral. I don't think that's it either. But there are key business activities that support what you do. Let's say, for example, your product or service is software, right? Usually that requires some product support staff. Usually it requires a documentation team to document things for either internal support staff or other people, or for your customers directly, right? All of these supporting business activities around your software product, if you don't get your software product right, it's a domino effect. Your support's going to be a challenge. Your documentation is always going to be a challenge. Things were always going to be in flux, and it doesn't feel really stable for you as an organization or for your customers. And often the responsibility for that is placed in the wrong place in an organization that takes this approach, and makes you susceptible to what the very initial thought was, that, well, we need to find the right framework or the right operating framework or the right marketing. And you start looking at all these other areas that aren't really addressing the real core of your problem and what would ultimately deliver the most value to your customers. So you're trying to make it work for everybody. It doesn't work really well for anyone. Okay. That's a serious trap that a lot of businesses fall into. What do you want as a business, right? You want to have new opportunities and new avenues for growth. Maybe you don't, but I know a lot of businesses do, and want to be innovative and evolving, and getting better products, better services, better profits that translate, or better revenue that translates into better profits, right? Lower costs, all these things. But if you don't have a deep understanding, you don't open up these avenues. You don't see them. You don't work them. You don't make them. You don't develop them. So you put yourself in some risk there and have some unintended consequences. So shifting the focus and looking at this case directly in a jobs-based, thinking of things in a jobs-based way instead of a new framework or marketing plan, it helps you see more opportunities out there. Maybe it pulls in people who aren't directly your customer, but you see something else where you can have an impact and make them your customer, or by benefiting your customers, it benefits them, which also then, again, it comes around. It benefits you. Maybe there's not an adequate solution out there. Maybe there's some, but because they haven't applied this correctly and don't have the deep level of understanding, they're not meeting the needs of the market very well, right? That could be an opportunity for you. And maybe things are so bad that customers would rather just go without, right? They'd rather take their pain and their problems than use the products and solutions that are out there. And you don't want to be that one, right? That says a lot about your offering if customers would rather live with the pain than purchase it. So you could be missing some really big opportunities there. And it helps you understand the real competition you're facing, who your competition is, what it is, why, all of those things. And you may see beyond what you've typically considered your competition, right? If you go back to the McDonald's example, the shakes for the commuters, that was a breakfast. But you normally wouldn't think of a shake as a breakfast food, right? But as they dived in, they realize, oh, that's really what people are using these for in the morning. Well, that puts you in a different sphere of all the different breakfast options that are out there, and maybe competitors that you didn't realize you had before. Anyway, so moving on to the questions for leaders. You have to ask yourself and gain the deep understanding of what jobs are your customers hiring your products or services to do. You have to take a different step, right? Not what are they hiring you for, me for as a business owner. What are they hiring your products and services? What are they hiring what you offer for? That slight, subtle difference can change your whole perspective on things. Are there segments of the market that you're not serving adequately, or that you're trying to with a one-size-fits-all? Neither of those sounds like a recipe for success, right, as I've just talked about. Or you having this deeper level of understanding and thinking of things this way gives you insight into maybe your competitors that are in the market are overshooting the mark, right? Maybe they're hitting it hard and heavy, firing on all cylinders, but missing the mark, right? If you can see that, and legitimately spot that, that opens up an opportunity for you. And what kind of experiences do your customers need to have with your products or service, right? There's a lot of focus on customer experience right now, but I think often it's kind of focused in the wrong area and it just doesn't quite seem to have the effect that people are hoping. Again, because people think of it, oh, well, customer experience is our new marketing plan, or it's the new framework that we operate in. You're not going to deliver on it as effectively as you would hope. and again, your goal, excuse me, is to help them make progress. If you help your customers progress, you're pretty well going to be attached to the hip with that progress, and you're going to make progress, right? If you're, it's funny how, to me, I hear this a lot where, oh, the market's gone stale, or our product's been out there for a few years, it's gone stale now. Well, is that really it? Or are you just not progressing anymore? And is there room for progress? Right? Can you even imagine having this level of discussions, right? Typically that's not. Oh, you know, we've been out 5 or 10 years, we're done, we need to move on to something else. What's the latest thing that we need to hitch our wagon to, instead of looking at, all right, we have this established. Can we take it further? Can we do more with it? And really think about things in those terms, instead of, well, it's time to sunset it and move on. Maybe. But are you really going to know that if you don't know that you haven't explored what opportunities are there to progress things further, right? And when the thing that's nagging in my head is, because I see this a lot in the industry, is new features and functionality don't necessarily mean progress. The two are not equal. Don't equate them. Yeah, we've got this stale platform. Maybe if we give it a facelift, right? Maybe if we add a couple new features. Unless you've really done the work and see that those features will help your customer progress, then that might be legitimate. But if not, then just a new feature just for the sake of a new feature, or a facelift to your application, or upgrading it to a new technology or platform, those things in and of themselves don't make progress. Progress can be enabled by those things, or can inspire those things, but those things don't inspire progress. Doesn't work. Often I've seen people take the backwards approach, and then it doesn't land, and they're saying, oh, we spent all this time and money, and it didn't make any difference. Well, you've missed the mark if that's the case, and you didn't have the right understanding to move forward with that. All right. And again, it comes back to, you can gauge how well you understand your competition by how well you understand what jobs your customers are hiring your products and services to do. If you don't understand that, you're going to have a real hard time evaluating your competition, and you're going to rely on a bunch of superficial research or anecdotal information about your competition and the market and you're where you fit with your competition, and that's just not going to be as effective as you would hope. The deeper you dive into it, the more you're going to understand about your competition and why and all of that. I've already said that, so I don't want to hash that over again. Lots of good thoughts in here. I'm just kind of reviewing, making sure I didn't miss anything that I wanted to talk about when I first opened this up. Yeah. But just to wrap up and summarize then, this is where you take that first step into getting deep into things and being able to actually deliver on all the buzzwords that people throw out there. And there's a reason they're sometimes laughable buzzwords, because people just throw them out. And, oh, you know, somebody, an executive, read a book or an article in the airport, or went to a conference, or had a conversation with someone, or, you know, talked to their other executive friend on the golf course, or whatever. Or an event, whatever. And, see if you can guess that background noise. That's awesome. And no, I'm not in a restroom, so you can throw that one out. Nah, sorry, I totally derailed myself. But this is where, this to me is what sets you apart and distinguishes you, is how effectively you dive into this and how deeply you dig in and really gain this level of understanding. And then you can be more innovative and you can find more opportunities and not go backwards. I see a lot of regression in this area. It's interesting, where the business people start to feel like, well, we're hitting a wall here. We need something else to get us over the hump or across the chasm or to bridge the gap. All these terms and all this stuff that goes around that doesn't really go anywhere ultimately with your business and your customers and how effectively you're servicing them and what kind of an experience you're providing them. But shoot, there's plenty of people making a lot of money telling you they have something that will change the way you do business and double your output, you know, magnify your employees' effectiveness, all this great stuff that sells stuff. But after you've been through half a dozen or so of them, right, in a company or more, like me, you start to question, right? And you start to wonder. I've always gleaned and learned something from each of those experiences. But ultimately, they're abandoned because they don't deliver on what they're supposed to do, what they're expected to, or what they're hoped to do to deliver on. And so then it's just on to the next one. And instead of looking inward and evaluating deeply in your organization, what are some areas you can help and improve and make progress in? Let's just look externally and pay someone else to tell us and give us something to do so that we don't actually have to face the reality of ourselves. And we don't actually have to look in the mirror and scrutinize ourselves as a business or organization or company and address anything. Or maybe we have to change our business practices or business model. Maybe we got to do things differently. And people don't want to do that. They don't want to face that reality. They don't want to make those hard changes because they're painful and they require a lot of effort. It's a lot easier just to pay someone who can give you a bunch of feel-good or give you some kind of framework that you can hold on to and spend a lot of time and effort to implement something, right? Because something's better than nothing, right? No, it's not. It never is. I've always hated that saying. I've never accepted it. I never believed it. And that doesn't always go over well with people who want to just jump on the bandwagon with things. But something's not better than nothing. So that something could be the wrong thing, and that could be disastrous. So, to me, when you say something's better than nothing, you're giving up, copping out, or admitting we're not afraid to face the real problems and issues and address them, because that's going to be hard and complicated and require a lot of effort and a lot of difficult conversations we don't want to have. And maybe it means telling someone that what they're doing is obsolete, which unfortunately in the corporate world, that means you're fired. In my world, that means can that capacity be used somewhere else? That's where I go first. Not, all right, sweet. We've realized that what this department's doing is obsolete, so we're just going to save costs, cut them loose, and move on. They were doing something. That's some capacity there. Can it be put to good use elsewhere? Probably. Most of the time it can, but if you don't know that and you don't have that level of understanding of your organization, you're just going to make a harsher, more rash decision and possibly sort of be cutting your own arm off. And that's unfortunate how often that happens. Anyways, I hope this has been insightful and interesting for you, as it has been for me. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks. Bye.